looking here.
It's 11 a.m. on a Monday. The calendar date is March 25th, 2013. On this tape, you'll hear the stories of Phyllis Swenson. Gretchen Kingsbury, the interviewer, will be heard on occasion. We are taping this interview at 13105 Hoffman Street in Jackson. Phyllis, thank you so much for your willingness to do this.
Oh, you're welcome, Gretchen. I'm happy to do it.
Well, you have a lot of memories to share, I'm sure. And we met earlier, and you decided you wanted a little more time to prepare, so I see you are more than ready to go.
Well, I needed a little more time to get the old computer upstairs going.
There you go. Would you like to start with what you have recorded there on your paper? Or?
Okay. I know last time you mentioned to me when I was born, and I was born October the 6th, 1931, in Pittsburgh, California. My folks were from Muncie, Indiana. During the Depression, my dad couldn't find work back there, so he came west to California. And as soon as he found work, he sent for my mother. She came by train with five boys and pregnant with me. I was the firstborn in California. Then after we arrived here, there were three more siblings born to her, or I should say to me. So there were nine of us all together. Most of my early education was in Sacramento and the Elk Grove area. Then in early 1940s, my dad bought the Motherlode Hotel in Martell. I can remember we moved in June, and I had to leave all of my school friends. I wasn't too happy about that move. Those were the days when Jackson was wide open, gambling and all, but we always felt safe. On Saturday night, we four younger kids were allowed to go to the movie in Jackson, and we walked the 2 miles from Martell. And after the movie, my dad would have the taxi pick us up and take us home. So we always felt very safe here in Amador County. I started eighth grade in Jackson Elementary on Church Street. My first day, I noticed a felt hat on the table. And I was scared to death because I knew I was going to have a man teacher. Guy V. Towsley. Teacher and principal. He was a tough teacher. Always said, "I'm from Missouri. Show me." I graduated from high school in 1949. Mm-hmm. I thought the Jackson High School was wonderful. I met lots of people and enjoyed every minute of my 4 years. In my class, we only had 24, 8 girls, 16 boys. I met my future husband in high school. After high school, I went back to Sacramento to find a job. I worked at Borden's Dairy for a year. And then Robert proposed, and we were married in September of 1950. His draft notice came for the Korean War after right away, and he left on January the 2nd, 1951. He had built our home on Hoffman Street during 1949 and 50, so we rented it out, and I lived with my folks in Sacramento. When I went back to Sacramento, I worked the 2 years for Selective Service, which was the draft board. Robert's family was born and raised in Jackson. His family goes back to to the 1850s.
All right.
Robert's great-grandfather, Stefano Netto, along with two brothers, came from Italy to settle in Jackson at Middle Fork, 5 miles out of town. Stefan had children. One was named John, and that was Robert's grandfather. Mm-hmm. Grandfather John had 5 children, his oldest living being Robert's mother, Catherine. Those Oneto boys married 5 Ratto girls, 3 boys being brothers, 2 cousins. Those days, if they wanted to come to Jackson, they walked the 5 to 6 miles. Most of those children went to Middle Fork grade school. In those days, they didn't wander far for marriage. So the Gollies, the Cuneos, the Rattos, the Malfinos, Onettos were all related. Probably more than that.
Phyllis, this is so wonderful to have all these connections with these families.
Well, as when I married into the family, I found out that Robert had more cousins than anybody I ever knew. Anyway, when Robert came home, we started our family. In 1953, we had Pamela. She's a school teacher at Jackson Elementary. In 1955, we had our son, Rob Jr. He worked, after his service, he worked in the store with his father and eventually took over. And he just sold it a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And that shoe store had been in business for 80 years. So we figured we did something right there.
You did, indeed.
Then in 1957, we had Debbie. Debbie's married to one of the Ryan boys, and she works at the courthouse. After we came home and settled down, I joined what they called the 1830 Club. And that was just what it said. You had to be between 18 and 30 years of age to join. It was an organization started by young women whose husbands went to World War II in the 1940s. We entered floats in Kit Carson parades each year. We had fundraisers for different projects in Jackson. The 1830 Club helped build John Imey Little League Field in the 50s and 60s.
Let me insert here. I'm looking at a picture that you pulled out from your file, and it shows the officers from 1830, from 1960 to 61, and you had been president of 1830s the year before. It looks like a wonderful group of people.
All young ladies, and believe me, we had fun in everything
did.
We did.
Yes,
yeah, it was a great organization, and it finally disbanded probably 10 years later.
Okay, but it served a need at that time, particularly because your husbands were all off to war.
All off to war, so. And then I think the next organization I joined was the Sir Optimus Club.
Uh-huh.
In 1969, I was invited to join because I had been in business with my husband. And you had to be in business or a professional in order to join the Sir Optimus.
Uh-huh.
They are a group of women helping women. Let's see. We had food booths at Dandelion Days. We sold Polish sausage and homemade pies. My friend and I, one year, baked 250 pies. And we sold most of them. They were all homemade here in my kitchen.
Right.
And during that time, I mostly enjoyed working for our scholarships. That was my pet project. We earned money for Soroptimus for both Amador and Argonaut High Schools. Mm-hmm. Soroptimus Club has sent many, many students on to higher education. Now we have a snack shack at Daffodil Hill every year. It only lasts 3 or 4 weeks out of the year, but we're usually able to raise enough money for a scholarship for both schools.
That's wonderful. Well, education has always been very important to you, hasn't it?
It has been very important. Amador County has changed in 62 years that Robert and I have been married. We have a new hospital at Sutter Amador. My three children were born at the old hospital on Court Street, where the county administration building is now. I can remember, and I think I still have the bill, but my firstborn cost us $58.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What a difference. And you had wonderful care. Did you stay in the hospital a long time?
If I remember correctly, Gretchen, it was 3 days.
I remember my mother saying she was in the hospital a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was just to kind of recuperate.
Uh-huh.
And I can remember the nurse that helped deliver my first daughter. When it was all over, she came in, sat down next to my bed, pulled out a cigarette.
Oh,
had a cigarette and said, "Boy, am I tired."
You did the work, but she was tired.
She was tired.
That's great.
Let's see.
So that was 53 when Pam was born.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Amador has changed a lot in the 62 years that we have been married. We have three new shopping centers. We had nothing back then,
mm-hmm.
except the old Safeway store on Main Street. But now we have Amador Plaza, Mother Lode Plaza, Sutter Hill Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful fitness center on New York Ranch Road. I love going out there and doing my exercises in the pool.
Good. That's what keeps you healthy.
We have many, many new doctor's centers that I can remember when we only had two or three doctors in town.
Mm-hmm.
When we came home in 1952, there were the Jackson Elementary and Jackson High Schools. Now we have Jackson Elementary, where my great-grandson will start this coming September. Jackson High School and Argonaut. Our three children still live here, which makes Robert and I very, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Robert retired from Swenson Shoe Stores in 1983,
mm-hmm.
and my son took over then. Our family have all gone to Jackson. Robert and I, our three children, our six grandchildren, and now just beginning our great-grandchild.
One so far.
Just one so far.
One great.
Yeah. He'll start in September.
Mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for his teacher, whoever she may be, because he's an aggressive little guy.
And probably very bright.
Well, we hope so. Of our six grandchildren, we have five college graduates. So as far as Robert and I are concerned, the school in Amador County are excellent. And Amador County is still the most wonderful place to raise a family.
Amen.
cancer.
Okay.
Cancer.
Yes. Well, I know you've given so much of your time and energy and leadership. First 1830, then Soroptimist, and you've been very involved with STARS, and we started out here with the American Cancer Society. Will you tell us about that?
Well, in the early 70s, we had a doctor in town that I was very close to. He delivered all three of my children. His name was Dr. Costantino. And after several years, he moved his practice to Sacramento. And I really think he did that because he was too busy in Amador County. But he became involved in the American Cancer Society. In 1974, he was president of the Sacramento unit.
Mm-hmm.
And his goal at that time was to bring Amador County into the American Cancer Society as a branch. He came to the Soroptimist Club, of which I was a member. And we had a group of about 10 volunteers. Each person volunteered to do what they were interested in. Mine happened to be driving. I always enjoyed driving, and it was something I realized I could do. We used our own cars to drive cancer patients to Sacramento and Stockton for radiation treatments. In the early 80s, we were at an American Cancer Board meeting in Sacramento, and that unit was receiving a new van from a group called Swing at Cancer. They were golfers that liked to raise money and help out the Cancer Society. We asked them what they were going to do with the old van. To make a long story short, we conned them out of the old van.
Good job.
But with this car, we were able to obtain more volunteer drivers. We had a couple of Rotarians that were drivers. And one day, Glenn Nix said to me, "Phyllis, why do we have to drive that old van? It took special loving care to keep it running." Our project started rolling from this point. The Rotary Club had special fundraisers, and between our two groups, in 1982, we purchased our first van. Over the years, we've had many vans. We put approximately 50,000-60,000 a year on the vans.
Miles. That many miles?
Yeah, well, yes, yeah. Miles.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
On those vans. And we trade them in every 3 or 4 years. Our 1995 van was purchased from the Angelo DiPaoli estate. He was very interested in what we were doing. In 1998, one of our vans was purchased with monies from an anonymous donor in Amador County that also believed in what we were doing. We never charged for rides. Everything was free. And those vans are a support group for each and every patient that takes this trip.
And as a van driver currently, I can certainly agree with that. The camaraderie and support is phenomenal.
You've been driving for many years.
Yes. Uh-huh.
How many, Gretchen?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, not many, 10, I think. But it's a privilege. Anyway, I digress.
I retired 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, I was in charge of it for so many years, and I figured when I got to a certain age, I was going to quit driving. And I finally told Cindy, my time is here. So,
well, you gave us such a good foundation. It'll go on indefinitely.
Well, we hope it continues for many, many years, mm-hmm. as long as the need is there for it.
Yeah.
Let's see, where should we go here? Oh, I know. We started out as American Cancer.
Oh, yes.
But we changed over the years. There's a long story there, Gretchen, and I really don't want to take up that much of your time. American Cancer gave us a $50 petty cash fund one time when we were sending out some letters and fundraisers,
mm-hmm.
and we started a fund of our own. And then later on, American Cancer came up to us and said, "You can't have money in American Cancer's name up here."
Okay.
So we changed the name to Amador County Cancer Transportation,
mm-hmm.
and we went along with that. Local people donated to it, all of our group donated to it, and we kept ourselves running with that money. And we never could have done it without the citizens of Amador County. Then in 2003, we changed our name again to Amador Stars.
Mm-hmm. And STARS stands for?
Service, Transportation, and Resource Services.
Yes.
We are now a nonprofit, and we work with our own board of directors and wonderful, wonderful volunteers. We now have 6 vans, and we're keeping those vans pretty busy. Today, our fundraisers include Camp Out for Cancer, Bunko for Breast Cancer, and we're hoping that Amador Stars will last forever. But we do need young volunteers, so all I can say to all you young people is get out there and volunteer.
That's good. We might say a word about the Camp Out for Cancer at this point.
Okay.
Which is a huge fundraiser.
Huge fundraiser.
Held in the fall. It's been at Amador High School, Argonaut High School, now at the fairgrounds, which is
where we have wonderful, wonderful room to do everything. And they have it every year in September. It usually falls on Robert's and my anniversary.
What a great way to celebrate.
Yeah, it is.
And we raise quite a bit of money.
Oh, they have made as much as $100,000.
Yes.
Some years a little more, some years a little less. But it keeps us going all year long.
Uh-huh.
And with the price of gasoline today, we need it.
That's right. Wonderful, wonderful. Is there anything else you'd like to share? I am so impressed with your knowledge and your activities. And what an asset to the community.
Well,
you are.
I've had fun doing it, Gretchen. I just wish now that I could still do it. I think back when my friend Norma and I would bake 50 pies a day. Then we'd put them in the freezer and store them up until we had enough to sell at Dandelion Days. And this week, I made up my mind I was going to bake a few pies for the food booth at Daffodil Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I baked 3, and I was tired after I baked the 3.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, things do change.
But things do change.
But you did it. Now, and early on, before you went by STARS, weren't you packing lunches?
Oh, we had the Valentine's Day box lunch. Gretchen, I forgot all about that.
I remember because I had bought them on occasion.
Well, we started that probably 1980, early 1980s. And every year on Valentine's Day, we would have volunteers get together. We went around to local businesses to sell our box lunches, telling them that the money went to American Cancer Society. And when we started that out, We started out at St. Patrick's Social Hall up there. We only used that one year because it was too small. We made probably sold about 200 to 300 sandwiches that year. After that, we moved to the Methodist Church basement in their kitchen. And each year, we would sell more and more box lunches. One year, Calaveras Counties called us and said, "Why don't you come to Calaveras County and sell lunches?" So we started soliciting in Calaveras County for our lunches. The last Valentine's Day box lunch we had was in 2003. So I figured we did it for 23 years, raising money for American Cancer Society. And I can remember taking the money down. One year we took $40,000 down to them just from our box lunches.
Yes, yes. That's, and I have had them, and they were delicious too, but lots of work.
But our volunteers would get up at 2 o'clock in the morning on the day that we delivered the box lunches, and they would make the sandwiches. We would package them a few days before with everything that was non-perishable. But then they would help us make those sandwiches, and those women, they were absolutely wonderful to do that.
Do you recall about how many women were involved in that?
I would say at the height of it, there was a good 150 to 200 volunteers up there making those lunches. And our biggest seller was the chicken salad sandwich. That was our biggest seller. Every year it got bigger and bigger. And I would imagine that last year or two, we probably sold maybe 1,200 to 1,300 chicken salad sandwiches. I was just asked the other day for the recipe for our chicken salad.
I said,
I'm going to give it to you the way we did it that last year or two. You buy 600 pounds of chicken, a crate or a crate and a half of celery, parsley. You cook the chicken, skin it, debone it, chop it up, put in the celery, put in the parsley. We would have liked to add a little onion, but too many people didn't like onion, so we never did put onion in it. Best Foods mayonnaise, mix it up, and you've got enough for 1,200, 1,300 sandwiches. So that's the recipe I gave out. You're going to have to bring it down to your size.
That's right. Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, it's a perfect example of how involved you've been in things and your contributions.
Well, I've enjoyed doing it.
We so appreciate it.
And it's so much fun to look back on it now that I can't do it anymore, Gretchen.
Yeah, I understand that. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Well, Phyllis, we, and I in particular, are so grateful to you for all your contributions and for taking time today to sit here with the tape recorder. Our plan then is, after you've had a chance to review this and make sure everything is appropriate, we will download the tape to the Historical Society, and it'll be on the website for anybody to hear after you've made any corrections or changes that you want to. But again, we are so grateful to you. Thank you.
You're very welcome, Gretchen.
Sending you a big hug.
I enjoy those.
All right.